Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I thought this would be great for us to start out today. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. That's what we're here for, to praise Him and lift Him up. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also, and the seas is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. So let's praise Him today.
All I can say to that is amen.
I was getting emotional over this song every time we sing it. And I just happened to be working on this song the other day. And I asked the Lord, what is it that's getting me so emotional about this song? And He said, look up the word hallelujah in your Bible. Well, I couldn't find it in the Bible, but I did find another spelling for it in the Bible, which is the same word. And it's in Revelation 19, and that word is used in Revelation 19 four times. And I'd like to read you this passage. Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then He said to me, right blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Is this not the goal that we're looking for? The marriage supper of the Lamb. And this word, hallelujah, in this song represents that. Hallelujah. If you look up the two root words that make up that word, one of them is to shine. Isn't that what the Lord wants us to do? To shine His light upon the earth. Hallelujah. Praise to the King. Shine your light. Thank you very much.
The last couple of songs also kind of minister to me is that we're singing about not having much to give back to the Lord. We can give praise, we can give worship, and compared to what He's given us, we really don't have much to give. The other song that we had, it said that I can give you my heart. And you know, there are parts of our heart that sometimes we say, yeah, I gave my heart to Jesus. And you did. You're going to be in heaven with Him. But there are things that we still keep inside of us sometimes, in a place that we don't want Him to get into. And yet He's chipping away, trying to get into those areas. He wants all of your heart. He just doesn't want to see the outside of how you are with the people around you. He wants to go into those depths. He wants all of your heart. And if that's all we have to give, that's all He ever wanted. So allow him, kind of like in a mine, you know, where they go in there and they chip away and they chip away. They finally get to that gold, that treasure. But you got to let him do that. Don't close the doors. Don't say no. And there are some of you here today that are barely starting to see him working in your life. Open it up. He's a good God. He's a gentle God. And he will not take anything that you're not willing to give him. But today is your day. That's all I have.
All right, guys, I'm Buck. I just have a little something here. It says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have been enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hated me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. That came to me. I opened this randomly this morning, guys. I just opened randomly. I'm going to keep doing that. Every time I come to talk, I'm just going to pick a random spot because my education on this book isn't as good as it should be, but it's getting there. It'll be more. And that's just undoubtedly proof that the Lord guides our minds and our hands every single day. Undoubtable proof. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I felt led to read this poem again. It's called Rise Up. And I think that's what the Lord wants us all to do. And I don't know when we're going to really do it, but I'm excited about it and I can't wait. So this is called Rise Up. This world is hurting. It's hurting for you, Jesus. We are your church. We are to rise up. We are no longer dry bones. Jesus, please breathe your healing spirit into us. We are your church, victorious, risen. We are to speak out, to speak your word, to be your living water, to be flowing forth with our spiritual gifts, looking to you, Jesus, and nothing else. Nothing else matters. The chains have been removed. Stop living in them. Stand up, rise up, stand up, rise up, rise up, O Church of God. We have our full armor on. Let us use it. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet shod with the preparation of peace. We have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Your word is in our very hearts. Oh, have us speak out to speak forth your word. Have it flow from our hearts. Remove any evil from our souls, Lord. Please remove it now. Take it away. We are your church, victorious. We are your hands and feet and equipped for battle. We have been given our marching orders by our supreme commander. Let us march on. The battle's been won. There is no fear. God is here with us, inside us, fighting beside and through us. Speak out. March on. Speak healing. Speak truth. Speak love. March on. Speak the word. March on. Speak and march. We are your hands and feet to be busy. March on, speak out, live as the righteousness of God as his children. The battle is won. It's that simple. Believe it, live it, speak it, so be it.
Morning. I think I was supposed to do this last week. I didn't, but I am today. Hopefully somebody, this is good, I hope. Tares in the Wheat. You guys remember when the owner of the property sowed good seed, right, into his field, you know, the earth, right? But then the enemy came and planted tares, planted bad seed in there, and they came up together, but it was hard to tell the difference between the two when they're young, especially now they've changed wheat a lot compared to what it used to be, and they probably look more very similar, even more so. But as they grew, you could tell, and they could see which one was which. But if you were to uproot them, you would pull the wheat up too, because of the roots were entangled together. But the interesting thing is, the master said to wait, and we'll see them come up together, right? And as they came up together, you could tell the wheat from the tares, right? Because the wheat, it's the pods are kind of white, the heads, they're a lighter color, and they bow. And they're full of fruit. That's you guys. Because that fruit is light. That fruit's life. They worship. There's life in them. If you eat of the tares, they make you sick. And they could kill you, right? They're darker. They don't bow before the Lord. But there's an interesting piece in this verse too that interests me, and that was that he said, now that harvest time has come, and I do believe we're in a harvest time. The gather up the tares first, bundle them, and burn them, right? And I do believe we're here. The shenanigans that have been going on in this world, some of these folks are going down, and I know they are. There's no doubt. But to gather the tares first, and then the wheat will be taken up to the barn. Amen. So I hope that's an encouraging word for you guys. That's all I got.
So I got a weird thing that happens at my job, and one thing I was reminded of today was, for those of you who don't know, I work in forensics, but I have to work with lawyers in the judicial system, okay? So everything that I do, or the majority of things I do, is recorded in some kind of way. When I'm interviewing with lawyers, it's recorded. When I'm in court, it's recorded. And I have everybody's eyes on me. And it's also this thing where we're talking to each other and we say, you know what? If you make a mistake, say, apologize and correct yourself. I also have to think about things I say. I can't tell any half-truths. Everything has to be completely true. The facts. So I have to be careful with my words. You know, I thought it's kind of strange that, you know, we have someone that's always listening to us, always watching us, knowing everything that we do, but we don't live in that manner sometimes. So, you know, it's this thing, it's like, I have this respect for the people I'm talking to. I have this respect for the lawyers, the judge, the jury. And it makes me think of Proverbs when it says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because if I say something wrong or do something wrong, present myself in the wrong way, I can actually lose my job. Right? I have to be truthful all times. What I'm saying is we should all live our life like that for God. where we think about the things that we say, even after we said them. And that we take responsibility for our mistakes, but we don't dwell on them. That we're free and open to know that sometimes we're going to make mistakes, but we can always improve, we can always do better. And just to understand this, it's like Romans 14:12 says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. And we should live our lives thinking that, knowing that. That one day we're going to stand before God. And I know when I stand before God, I want to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. So let's be aware of his presence and live our lives like he's always with us, because he is.
And I want, if everybody could just, because we do have something, but if everybody could just stay standing, because it's about worship. There is something that happens in worship. It's one of the things that I love. It has the ability to just change the atmosphere of the room because the Holy Spirit just takes over. But one of the most amazing things about it is the ability to go before God and just surrender everything. The ability to go one-on-one and speak to God about what is going on in our lives, about the things that we're feeling, about what we're needing help with, about anything, but most of all, the ability to just say, God, I thank you for everything that you do in my life. Because every single thing in your life works together for good, which means that it doesn't matter where you're at or what's happening, it is working in your favor. And it really is a mindset change. It's that transformation of your mind that happens when you begin to realize that regardless of whether it feels bad to you or it feels good, it is for your good, no matter what. But our ability to come into God's presence and be able to just spend one-on-one time all the time. It doesn't matter if you're even in a building with a bunch of people, you're still able to spend time one-on-one with the Father. It's what makes worship amazing. It's what makes it powerful. It's what makes it such a gift for all of us. But I want to say something. The church gets really comfortable about a routine. We're going to pray, we're going to worship, we're going to go into the Word. We're going to pray, we're going to worship, we're going to go into the Word. This is going to be our Sunday. But when we come on up here, that's not our thought. It's for God, whatever you're wanting to happen, whatever you want to do, do it now. And there is a moving that is happening. There really is. God is doing some things in his people. He's building them up. He's strengthening them. And he's teaching them to go. Because it's not about just coming to church and going through a routine and this is the way we're doing things. It's about allowing God to change and renew our lives, reveal things to us, give us new things, empower us, strengthen us, and send us out again. Because God desires that it be a building up and then a building up out there. It's not meant for a church just to be, let me come inside our walls and do what I normally do and feel comfortable in my normal place and then just go out and do my normal thing. God desires for you to do something new every day because he's got something new every day. He's got something for you all the time. Just like when Buck walked up here and he said, all he did was open my Bible. It's the same exact thing that every Christian, regardless of age or how long you've been serving God. The the ability to go into the Word and hear what God has for you so that He can give you what you need to continue to move forward is exactly what the church has to learn. Because comfort is nice, but I guarantee you, God's wanting to shake you up. Sometimes you gotta get a little uncomfortable. Sometimes, and church, this is exactly why I'm saying, you gotta start looking at every single thing in your life, whether it feels bad or what's happening, as working together for good. Because when you're uncomfortable, it's a good moment to say, God, what are you doing? Because I want it. I want to know what you're doing. Because the Bible already told you that He'll fight your battles for you. That all you got to do is be still. But that's the thing, is so often we look away from what God's trying to give us in our lives. Because we're too busy looking at the circumstance and the situation. We're too busy wanting to be comfortable in our life. So this is going to be a little different. But I want to encourage you this morning. And I'm not sure who this is for. It could be for everybody, but I know I can feel it really strong. If you've gotten really comfortable with your routine and the way things are going and just comfortable with your spot in your chair at church, whatever it might be, I want to encourage you this morning. Get a little uncomfortable. Do something a little different. Surrender a little more to God. Raise a hand when you refuse to raise a hand. Step out of your seat when you refuse to step out of your seat. Jump a little bit when you refuse to jump. Do the things that make you uncomfortable, because there is something that happens in the surrender. In the ability to let go of what you think and what you want and what you feel and say, God, it doesn't matter because you're what's important. Because you're all that matters. And for some people, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that if you're not jumping or you're not doing something that you're in a bad place. But I do think that God is trying to get some people to realize, get a little uncomfortable. Because you're not going to be comfortable all the time with where He's taking you, but He will give you good things in those moments. You may not be comfortable walking up here to talk on a mic because God's prompting you to, but it's going to be a good thing. You may not be comfortable walking up to the stranger that God's giving you a word for, but it's going to be a good thing. That's the thing, is that we look at discomfort as bad. But God wants us to know that getting uncomfortable sometimes puts us in the position to move into something new. Whew. It's the reason that you're going to see a generation of kids who rise up who just don't care what you think about them. They're going to worship the way they want to worship God. They're going to do what they feel like God's leading them to do without any regard of what you think about them for doing it. God tells us to be like the child, but that's the thing, is we let our pride, whatever it might be, get in the way so often of what God's trying to do in our life because we won't just step out. Woo! Sometimes you just gotta step out. You just gotta take that first step and see what God's gonna do. It is what faith is in your life. It's taking a step when you can't see where it's going and just knowing that God's going to do great things. That's exactly what faith is. And when the church, when the church starts functioning in this place, it's when we're going to start seeing the things that people pray for all the time. You pray for revival. Revival is already within you. It's already something that you have. You gotta do is let it pour out. You just gotta go after Him. He's always there.
Is it on? Okay. So right now I was talking to Abby because I was like saying like, has God gave you something to say? And she goes, no. And I go, well, he has for me. And she goes, I'm just scared to say it, but I'm nervous. And she goes, okay, same for me. And God is just telling me right now that, like, in the song, it says that you have a lion inside of your lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. He's telling me that don't be afraid to raise your hands and worship, to get up, to get on your knees, to do whatever. Linda just told me that Ben was over here worshiping with his hands up in the air, just praising God. And that's like the type of things that is so like good that God is saying, is that it can be anyone. It can be little Ben. It can be anyone, because he's just saying that don't be afraid to worship. It's what he wants you to do, is to worship him, and he's there. So he just wants you to worship him.
God was calling me just to come up, and I want to encourage all of you to come up just like God was calling me to. And if God is calling any one of you to come up and speak, come up and speak it, no matter what it is. If it's small, if it's big, no matter what it is, it's through God. So.
So, praise the Lord.
Good morning, church. Boy, it's been an amazing morning just feeling the Holy Spirit here. It says strength and might. Know that as you're receiving from him today, for whatever your situation is, God has an answer. It's in the Word of God. It's based on your relationship with him. He can bring you joy even in the darkest of times. And as you're going through that, spend time doing things that the Lord would have you do. Is it if in the store, give someone a smile. It's amazing how many people you see that aren't smiling right now. So smile at them and you'll be surprised, they'll smile back. There's nothing wrong with going up to someone and saying, you look beautiful today. Or I hope you have a good day. Or you know what, you can see I'm a little height challenge. And there's times I have to ask people, can you please reach something high up for me? But then it gives me an opportunity to talk to them and to say, God bless you, thank you so much. So you know what, every one of us are unique. Every one of us has something that can touch somebody's heart. And we can touch our neighbors. And it's not going out there and preaching. What it is just loving. And then one day they're going to come and say, what makes you happy? You always seem to be glowing with the Lord. And you don't have to be preachy. You just have to share. God is there for you through anything and everything. And while you're waiting, in those moments when you feel like I'm going to give up, don't give up. Just say, Lord, I feel like it, but I'm not going to. Go read your Psalms. Read anything in the Word that's going to lift you up and help you to understand that God is with you. Don't let your miracle stop. Because you know what? If we stop, if we don't believe, if we give up, then our miracle isn't going to happen. And like Ben would say, miracles will keep you from your miracle. So just know that whatever it is, hold on and then go about the business of the Lord by doing whatever he tells you to do. And it could be something small. It could be giving your neighbor a good word, or say, hey, I noticed you haven't been feeling well. They got out of the hospital. Take them a cup of tea, a little cupcake, something just says, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you. And if they allow you to pray, then pray. And just know that just love. Love conquers a multitude of things. You know, that's God's word. So be at peace in knowing that as you're waiting, you can be instilling something in others. And people, it doesn't matter if you're Ben's age or if you're an adult and you're elderly. And I'm in that scheme. But the thing is that God can use your wisdom. We need you. Every one of us needs what you can give. So don't think I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to sit and I'm going to enjoy because I'm past all that. No, you're not. because when God gives you something to do, it doesn't matter your age. All that matters is your love and your heart for the Lord. So that's it.
Thank you. My goodness, those young children that just came up here and spoke, I've never seen that in my entire life, ever. That's amazing, beautiful, keep doing that. The little girl was speaking and she was saying to not have fear and just praise. Don't care about what other people think of you, just do what you feel is the best, and that's very, very accurate. We don't come here for what other people look at us like. We don't come here because, oh, he's coming here to praise, he must be a better person. No, we come here because God calls us here, and this is why it's beautiful. I'm awoken. I'm happy to be here. I keep.
I had a young woman approach me, and she asked me about baptism, and she didn't know the where or the how, and she's very introverted, and so I was speaking with her this week, and I said, have you prayed? Have you asked Jesus into your life? And so we actually just held hands, and we had our altar call right there, and we prayed to forgive her sins, and that she asked Jesus into her life, and thank you for the Holy Spirit, create me a clean heart. And then she cried, and she shared, and it was the most magical thing, right in the middle of the work week. And we just shut the door and just did what Jesus asked us to. Just share the gospel, share the good news.
In my prayer time with the Lord, I've been praying for our church, of course, and I've been discerning that the Lord is very pleased with us, and he confirmed it just a few minutes ago. It's awesome how the Holy Spirit confirms things. And he did. He confirmed that he is well pleased because all of you are pressing in. All of you are seeking him. And so this is what he has to say to you. Matthew 3:17. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. This was about Jesus, but this is about you, not just him. He's saying it to you this morning. He's well pleased. Keep seeking him. The word says, seek him and you shall find him. Keep seeking him. He's well pleased.
Praise God. God is good. How many say amen to that? Man. How many love God? Raise your hand if you love God. Say, God, I love you. Praise you and I worship it. Folks, this is a house of worship. Can you say amen to that? That's what we do here. We worship God. Amen. If there's anything that's so important to our lives is that we worship the Lord. How many say amen? Come on, somebody. Worship the Lord. Worship him. Let him know you're in the house at least. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. You guys did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, excuse me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you look at your bulletin, the sermon today is titled Treasure. How many like treasure? How many search for treasure? Yeah. How many ever watched that movie National Treasure? No? Yeah. I mean, people looking for gold and silver. How many know that God, it says in his word that he's greater than gold? He's better than rubies. He's better than silver. Amen? He's better than anything you can find. How many say amen to that? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad that he chose me and called me into what he's got me doing today. How many say amen? Yeah, some of you said, I ain't glad about that. Yeah. I don't know about you, bro. Yeah, no. Praise God. You look a little weird to me. How many know we're supposed to look weird? Yeah, come on, man. How many of that group was saying yesterday? We're supposed to look for peculiar. Is that right?
Yep.
We're a bunch of peculiar people. How many say amen to that? Yeah. In front of the jello, you're going, yeah, come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Saying, come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Touch somebody. Hallelujah. Ooh, folks, we are on track. Can you say amen?
Amen. The kingdom of God is, man, it's being manifested. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And we're part of it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. God is my treasure. Would you say God's your treasure? Yes. Do you treasure him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was talking this morning a little bit to, before we, when we were praying this morning, the Bible says, God says in Isaiah, I'll give you treasures out of darkness. How many like treasures out of darkness? Anybody? Darkness? Everybody goes, darkness? What is darkness? And, you know, treasures out of darkness basically is that God reveals things to us. So there's things that we don't understand about God, so they're dark. We're in a dark place. God says he walks, yeah, man, his pavilion is surrounded with darkness. But he wants to bring light. It's not his darkness, it's our darkness. There's things about God that we don't know, we don't understand, but he wants to reveal them to us. When he reveals them to us, all of a sudden, poof, this light shows up. We go, oh, I just got it. And he gives you a treasure. How many have ever received a treasure from God? A word out of the Bible. You're looking at the Bible and it says something, you go, oh my God, I never knew that before. And you say, God, thank you for that word. See, he opened a treasure chest for you. And he gave you a word. Amen? Hallelujah. Because the word of God says that he sent his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit's going to write his word on your heart. And it comes in the form of revelation. Jesus told Peter, when Peter said, you know, Jesus asked the apostles, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, come back from the dead. And he said, but then he asked a question, well, who do you say that I am? Who do you think that I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter, I mean, I can imagine him kind of shaking and kind of, well, I'm going to go ahead and say it because he's feeling something. He said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. Jesus looked at him and said, you know, heaven and flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed it to you. And he said, and upon this, I will build my church. He builds his church on revelation. When he writes on your heart the things of light, would you ever say light?
Light.
When he writes on your heart the things of light, there's an illumination to you. How many of you ever received something from the Lord and you go tell your best friend, hey man, look at this scripture, and they don't get so excited about it? Not like you are. How many say amen to that? Because God revealed it to you. He gave it to you. And he gave it to them. You can get all hurt about it. Well, you don't even think it's good. Yeah, whatever. God gave it to you. Amen?
Amen.
I love it. I love it when he gives me things. I love this treasure chest of his word. He's spoken to me some crazy stuff. You guys already know some of this stuff. How many say amen to that? Yeah, you're kind of crazy. He's giving me some crazy stuff, but see, he's giving it to me. He might not have given it to you yet. Is that okay?
Yes.
Because the word becomes revealed. God, by his Spirit, will reveal the word to you. And when it's revealed to you, then you speak what you know. Is that right? When you know that you know, this is what I know, so I'm going to say what I know. I don't care what you know, but I'm going to say what I know. Is that right? Is that right? You want to say what you know? Get up here. Come on, man. That's why we open the scriptures to you. I mean, the microphone to you. We let you come on up because God said, I want the body to speak to the body. I desire, how many heard of iron sharpening iron?
Yes.
That's what it is. Body speaking to the body, building up, strengthening one another. Somebody gives you a word that makes you feel bad. Let go of it, say, I don't care. That doesn't sound like God to me. How many know that? How many know that God's not interested in tearing you up? He's not. He's interested in building you and strengthening you. And there's things going on in our hearts that are not good for us. I mean, say amen.
Amen.
Talk about somebody or you, whatever it is. Steal candy bars all the time. I don't care. Whatever it is, it's not good for you. And God's going to strengthen you to bring those things out of you. How many say amen? It takes strength. It takes light. It takes The Word of God says it, I think it's Proverbs. It says, by mercy and truth, your soul is purged. Amen. It takes truth. It takes strength. How many know that true things are strong? Is that right? You can't go against truth. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If it's true, it's true. Is that right? Can't go against it. So truth is very strong. Yeah, come on, man. I think I'm losing you. Is that right? Think about it. He's trying to strengthen you by the word of God, by his word. It's cool, man. Hallelujah. So we're talking about treasures today, amen. And sometimes it, what is a gift, sometimes it doesn't look like a gift. I mean, you know, I mean, say amen to that. Amen. Sometimes what God has given you, I mean, I preached something, although I didn't preach it, I was talking to that when blessing turns into a curse. Sometimes what God is trying to give you doesn't look like a gift, but it is. Sometimes when he's speaking to you about how you're treating somebody, that might not look like a gift, but it is a gift because he's trying to correct you. He's trying to strengthen you. Is that okay? How many of you know that doing things wrong is a way that God, is a way that weakens you? But when you do things right, the Word of God says that God, Jesus says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you're right, you're right. When you're walking in righteousness, is that right? Some of you say, well, I'm right. I don't care what you say. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about the righteousness that God put in you that corrects you and builds you and strengthens you. Is that okay? His desire is that you become strong, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to look at what didn't look like a gift, but it really was a gift. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 19, starting at verse 10 and 11. Hallelujah. God had brought Israel out of Egypt. They'd already crossed the Red Sea. And now they're kind of roaming the wilderness, and they've moved up in front of Mount Sinai. And here's what the Word of God says. And the Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. How many of you know that God likes clean?
Amen.
Anybody know that? He likes clean. He said, let them wash their clothes. See, God at this time wasn't able to come into the body. Is that right? His spirit could manifest and speak to man, but at this time he could not come into man because the blood of Christ hasn't washed away the sin that would be contrary to God within that person. So he couldn't come in. So he says, hey, wash your clothes. Can you say amen? How do you like clean clothes? One, two. Yeah, buddy, that's it. He says, hey, let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people in Mount Sinai. Go to the same chapter. We move over to 16, verse 19. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. And the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud. See, God's promise to Moses, he said, bring the people up, let them wash their clothes, because I'm going to meet with you, and they're going to hear me speaking to you, so they will be convinced that I'm speaking to you. So in the morning, when they get up, they've got this mountain that's got these clouds on it. How many like clouds? How many like rain? Hallelujah. How many like thunder and lightning and all that stuff, man? My dog, I mean, one of Rebecca's dogs isn't too crazy about lightning. But I like it sometimes this time of year, I love it where you hear that rumble. And you look over and you say, Pastor John's getting rain. I'm not getting a thing here. I got blue sky here, God. Hey, God really does like Pastor John more than me. He's been telling that all his life. He keeps telling me. But there was one morning I got up, man, it was real early in the morning where it was kind of dark, and there was clouds around an elephant head there, and lightning, it was lightning, and it was raining, and I got the feeling of what these folks are. I go, wow, that's so cool. But these people, there was a sound of a trumpet that was exceeding loud, is what it says. It came to pass the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and the thick cloud upon, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud. I mean, what is going on? That is one way. It's God's alarm clock. Amen. I remember one morning I got up in the morning, and when I opened my eyes, I could hear a trumpet blowing. And when I opened my eyes, I go, and I could, just for a few instances while I, when I, my eyes open, and I'm like, and I hear this trumpet, and it was loud. And I said, Lord, what was that? And the Lord said, Henry, you need to be ready. You need to be ready. How many know that they use trumpets to tell everybody, hey, we're leaving, we're moving, the cloud's moving, we got to move with it. Huh. And I go, oh, man, well, you're the one making me ready, Lord, amen. Get me ready. Huh. Just keep going. It said, and the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, and all the people that was, so all the people, and it came, where am I? All right. Yeah. Thank you, Abe. Abe's going, choo, choo. That all the people that was in the camp, they trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether end of the mount, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, for, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. I love this. I love picturing this in my mind of what's going on. And folks, I will tell you, if you go on to read this chapter, you're going to find that the children of Israel, they told Moses, hey, you know what? Let him talk to you. We're good with that. And then you can relay the message to us. They didn't want to. They were afraid. Can you say amen? Something like that. I mean, hey, it's quaking. That mountain was shaking. Somebody shake your hand like that. Go like that. That mountain was shaking. Like an earthquake. Can you say amen? And it's on fire. It's glowing. It's got lightning coming out of it. It was a fearful sight. Can you say amen? Amen. It wasn't it. It's Psalm 68, verse 8. I threw this one in because it hit me so much. It says this. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. See, this was it. This was an earth-shaking event. Can you say amen? I just need you to picture this a little bit. Because is God trying to scare us? God's not trying to scare us. But he does want us to reverence him. Do you say amen? Amen. I mean, when he says don't do something, I mean, you know what? I think he means don't do it. Is that right? And that's usually what it means. I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I know when he says don't do it, it means don't do it. But we are so, we go ahead and do it. Is that right? Come on, man. We need to quit. When he says don't do it, don't do it. Look at your neighbor and say, don't do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. I need you to look at this. Because believe it or not, God was giving these people a gift. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. This gift was God saying, hey, I'm with you. I am the God that shakes mountains. Amen. I'm the God that causes lightning and thunder and earthquakes. I'm the God that does all this stuff. And they're going, oh my God, I don't want anything to do with that. Oh man, it was a gift. Here is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says this. we are not come to this earth-shaking event. How many say amen? God's not trying to scare us off. He's trying to draw us in. It says, for you are not come to the mountain that might be touched and burned with fire, nor the under blackness and darkness and tempest. He's describing what the children of Israel were looking at when they were there in front of the mount. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and so as much as a beast touched the mountain, it would be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight. I mean, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But see, that's not what God's bringing us into. How many say amen? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there's something different for us? It says, but you are come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Isn't that cool? Can I just say this to you? I mean, folks, we are created to live in two places. Do you know that? We spend our life in two places as Christians. I know a lot of folks don't get this. It's in John chapter 3 when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He describes this thing of two places at once. When you go into your prayer closet, and you get down on your knees, and you begin talking with the Lord. Start out singing songs, play your guitar, your tambourine. I mean, hey, you get in your closet and your whole intent is to go and speak to God. You are entering into the palace of God. Do you know that? It says you are coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. These are warring angels on your behalf. By the way, I'm going to just toss that in so that you know that when you get there, there's a crowd watching you. Is that okay? It said, when you draw near to God, you get in your closet and you think it's just you and Him. But there, when you're in that, man, oh my God, you got the Father, you got the Son, you got the Holy Ghost with you. And there's an innumerable amount of angels that are in on your prayer. Can you say amen? If God be for us, who can be against us, folks? Is that right? Can anybody be against you?
No.
Nothing. Nothing. And then it says there's a general assembly of the church of the firstborn. I mean, there ain't nothing private in heaven now, is there? I'm trying to get a little privacy with my God. Here we are. Which are written in heaven to the God and judge of all, and to spirits of just man made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that sprinkles better things than that of Abel. Folks, this is where the person that spends time in the presence of God, spends time in your closet, spends time in your prayer place. You've got this whole dimension that you might not realize it, but you stepped into it. Can you say amen to that? It's important that you understand that. It's important that you understand that your words are witnessed by people, by just men made perfect, by angels. What you're saying before the throne of God is impacting Zion, the kingdom. Can you say amen? Ooh, God, folks, we are more than what we realize. God has given us more than what we've ever thought. It's crazy. He's a big God. He can listen to multitudes at one time. How many say amen? Aren't you glad you don't have to stand in line? Can you imagine the line to get to God? Woo-hoo-hoo. Sometimes we might think that there's not that big of a line going to God, but God always says, hey, remember he told Elijah, I've reserved 10,000 for my name's sake. Liza, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that knows how it knows you. I'm the only one that knows how to seek you. I'm the only one, God. God says, I've reserved 10,000 that you don't even know about. I don't know where that came from, but that came from. I just want you to look at Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22. I want you to look at this verse because God is saying something here. He says, do you not fear me? Oh, what? Folks, we got to really know and understand we serve a big God. And he said, will you not fear me? See, God doesn't want you scared of him. He wants you to know that he's a lot bigger than you are. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's some pretty tough people in here. My wife is pretty tough. But I know she's going to be right behind me trembling and in his presence just because of how awesome he is. John the Apostle knew Jesus. How many say amen? He knew him. And when Jesus showed up in his cave, how many say amen? Yeah? Is that right? He's on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus shows up and he turns around, he looks at him, he sees his hair is white as snow and his feet are golden and he's wearing his white robes. And all of a sudden, boom, he says, I fell at his feet like dead. And he said to me, don't be afraid. See, he's a lot bigger than what we can imagine. He's a lot more powerful. Some of you might say, well, yeah, I'm tough. Yeah, yeah, you're tough. You will fall at his feet. It's just how big he is. How awesome and uncomprehendable this God we serve. Can you say amen?
Yes.
And you think you know him. Come on. We're about to, you know, like an iceberg. You're a little bit on the water. That's all right now. That's all we're seeing. Oh, God, he's big. Will you not fear me? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea and by a perpetual decree, by his word, he said, he can't go past that. That it cannot pass beyond it. And though its ways be tossed to and fro, yet they cannot prevail over what he's commanded. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you have ever seen the ocean? Yeah, come on. I got to tell you, we were just on the beach, and this wave came in, and it was going back out, and it knocked my wife down. And she's yelling, she's going to be mad at me for telling that. We're looking at it. Stand up. Just stand up. It's carrying me away. Oh, man. I love my wife. It's just so cute. Oh, boy. It says, though the waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. Glory to God. Will you not fear me, he says. Oh, you'll get it. Abe was talking about when I stand before the Lord. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You stand before the Lord every day of your life. You just don't see him yet. But you're in his presence. If he dwells in you, you can't get away from him. Can you say amen to that? Even the sinner can't get away from him. There's no place to hide. You can run. You can run hard. You can run long. Some of you can run longer than others. But you cannot hide. You can't hide from him. He's too big. Exodus 33, verse 14. Here's what God says. He told Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Right after this verse, the very next verse, Moses said, God, if you don't go with me, I ain't going nowhere. Is that cool? If God's not going, I ain't going. That should be our attitude. God, if you didn't tell me to go, I'm not going. I'm sticking with you, God. crazy thing is that he says, I am sticking with you. Jesus said to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you know that? Do you know it? Do you know it? That he'll never leave nor forsake you. He will be with you always, even to the end of the age. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad? You got somebody in your corner. You got somebody within you. Hallelujah. My presence shall go with you. So Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says this. Repent, therefore. Oh, boy. Repent. Just means to turn around and go the other direction. If you're headed somewhere you shouldn't be headed, just turn around and go the other direction. Repent, therefore. Be converted. I say amen. Be converted. Let your mind be converted. Is that okay? See, folks think that we're being brainwashed. If that's what you want to call this, I say, yeah, come on, bring it on. Because God is placing his heart within us so that our mind is transformed to his mind. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Be transformed, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when times of, listen, everybody say refreshing. How many like refreshing? How many have been out in the sun lately and you're like, man, you got to get some water. Is that right? My poor granddaughter the other day, I was out, I was working on trees. I was working in the yard and she's out there drinking my water. I said, hey, what are you doing? Go get your own water. Yeah, I said, man, mean grandpa won't even share his water. How many say amen? Come on, man. Hey. When you're working out there, boy, I tell you, that's a treasure, having some water. How many say they had a little lemon in it, some ice? Mm-hmm. And she's drinking it. I go, what are you doing? She thought it was mean. Yeah. Oh. poor Lonnie. Folks, if there is anything that I know, God wants to refresh you. He wants refreshing to happen to your life. And the place you get that refreshing is in his presence. How many say amen? Amen. We're talking about treasure. I hope that meeting God in your closet or in your pickup truck or in the restroom, wherever you meet God, I hope that's a treasure to you and that you never want to let go of it. Amen. Because it is something that's given to you that will help you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. God wants you refreshed. When I get home after working like on trees, I'm cutting trees, Pastor John. For John's birthday, I got him some clippers. He goes, would you give me something I have to work for? I said, I know you. I said, well, hey, he's a tree trimmer like I am. But when you go in the house, man, there's one thing you don't feel like doing is, hey, Henry, can you vacuum? Oh, come on, you kidding me? I just got through. I'm hot. I'm mad. Let me go take a shower. And you go in, you take a shower, and you get refreshed. How many say amen? How many like the way a shower refreshes you? I love taking a shower. Sunday mornings, on the weekend, I think I take 4 showers altogether. You guys are saying it's a good thing. But yeah, I take Saturday night before I go to bed, and early Sunday morning, I get up and I take a shower. I love it. I love the refreshing that a shower brings. Amen? Turn the hot water off. See how refreshing that is. Yeah, come on. That'll get you going. Praise God. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, boy. How silly. But look, he wants to refresh you, and he wants you. It's going to happen in his presence. This is what it says. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Amen? In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. See, he wants to give you things that he wants to lead your path. He wants your path to be clear to you. He wants you full of joy. The Bible says The joy of the Lord is our strength. How many say amen? So if you need strength, go to your prayer closet. Pray and let him refresh you, and it will give you strength. It really will. But that's not all he gives in that prayer closet. He gives that pleasures forevermore. How many say amen to that? Yeah. One of my great pleasures, Linda Enix, she brought me what's called a mango nada. How many ever had a mango nada? Anybody? No? You guys have got to be kidding me. Oh, McKay has had one. Anybody ever had a mango nada? John's had one. Do you like those? Yeah. Yeah. It's from Dutch Brothers. Dutch Bros. Rosie and I stopped to get one of them because that's one of them pleasures I like. My son drank. He goes, "My God, Dad, this is good." I say, "It is." We're getting there, and the guy goes, "Well, it's a seasonal drink." I go, "What season? You got to be kidding me! He's a seasonal drink." He goes, "So right now we don't have the strawberries. Had little bits of strawberry in the bottom. It's got this. I think it's some kind of a gate." Like an energy drink in it. Is that right? It's got an energy drink in it. I don't know if it's got mango juice in it. Does it have mango juice? Who knows? It's got ice. And they put a little bit of chili on top of it. Hey. ¿Qué pasó? Hey. I mean, and I'll tell you what, man. It's great. Matter of fact, I want to go get one right now. Just talking about it. But I tell you, he says, hey, he goes, "You might come in here later on, and it's a seasonal drink, so you won't get it." Dude, you got to be kidding me, man. So it's one of those pleasures. He says, God will give you some pleasures. How many say amen to that? Oh, yeah. God cares about you. He wants you to have nice stuff. But you go to his word, and you go to him, and go to spend time in his presence, and watch how it changes things. Psalm 17, verse 2 says this: "Let my sentence come forth from your presence. Let your eyes behold the things that are equal." Funny saying, isn't it? But he says, "Let my sentence come forth from your presence." If there's anything that I want to know, when I go to spend time with God, when I'm in the presence of God, I want to hear him speak. How many say amen? Amen. I say, "God, just say something." I was telling the folks this morning, I love it. And you know what? He might just say, "Hello. God, is that you? Come on, man. All right, I heard God this morning." You know what he said? What'd he tell you? He said, "Hello." I said, "Amen. Come on, man." Your friends will go, "You're weird, bro." Yeah, well, God said, "Hello. Hello." Hey, come on, man. I will tell you, when you hear when you hear something from God, boom, it ignites. Can I say amen? Just like Rebecca was saying earlier, we said, hey, you know, there's a lot of people looking for a revival. Get in your closet, let him speak to you, and I will guarantee you, if he's speaking to you, poof, this revival happens within you. Amen. Everybody go like that. I want to hear it. Boom. Say, "Oh my God, he spoke to me." Hallelujah. Sometimes we get a little amazed that he spoke to us. Well, God said, "I'm trying to speak to you all day long. And in your presence is where," he says, "let your divine sentence come forth. Let me hear what you got to say to me." Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, that will strengthen you. First Chronicles 16, verse 27 says this: "Glory and honor are in his presence." Yeah. Strength and gladness are in his place. And it's funny, it's almost like this is a secret to some of the church. I've talked to folks, and man, and they're gloomy, and they're down, and they're, everything's bothering them, and they've got nothing. And hey, you need to spend time with God. You need to go, yeah. You need to find his place. Yeah. You know he wants to talk to you. Yeah. When's the last time you got in prayer? Last week, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks. I don't know. I need to take time. Yeah, you need to take time. How many say, yeah, I need to take time? Can I tell you, the more often that you can get into that presence, the stronger you'll be. Amen. You'll get strengthened, and you'll get direction. You'll get all the things that you need just by spending time with him. Amen? Yes. His presence. Matthew 6:6 says this, enter into your closet. Enter into your closet. Shut the door. Is that right? When you pray, enter into your closet. When you've shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, what's he going to do? Reward. Openly. Just for the end, the last one, because we're talking about finding his presence. You can find it just about anywhere. I've been at the gas station before when I've sensed the presence of God. When I feel it, I start looking around. All right, Lord, who's this for? Because I know you're doing something. And most of the time, if I listen to it enough, if I just watch, God will bring something. Yes. And an opportunity to speak to him, to speak to somebody about him. It's a wonderful thing, sensing and knowing his presence. Can you say amen? Watch this. Psalm 91. How many like Psalm 91? It's probably one of my favorite psalms among all my favorite psalms. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You can say he or she. He or she that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's good right there. Amen? You're going to abide under his shadow. Just stay right there, Henry, stay right there. I'll take care of it. Yeah, cool. You abide under his shadow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Is that okay? That one that's trying to trip you up, trying to capture you, he's going to deliver you because you spend time in the presence of God. It all hinges on the first verse, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Is God a bird? It's likening him as a mother hen. How many ever watched little chicks run underneath its mom, their mom? Yeah, how many ever seen that? They just, whoop, and it's almost like they're gone. She goes, kind of, what do you want? Back off, buddy. Amen? Under his wings he'll trust, his truth shall be your what? Your shield and your buckler. This is why it's so important that you get his word in you. Forget about what everybody else is saying to you. Go to your closet. Find out from God what he's saying to you personally. Amen. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Don't care what it looks like. Whatever that arrow. Whatever that arrow looks like. The one that you think is going to destroy you. Can't do it because you spend time in his secret place. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But look at this, it won't come near you. Can you say amen to that? How many of you were hanging on to this about COVID this year? Or not 2019, not this year, but so this scripture right here, I heard it a lot. How many say amen? 1,000 will follow your side, 10,000 in your right hand, but it won't come near you. Why? Because you spend time with God. Does God make a difference? Oh, you bet. You know, the word says that he is not a respecter of persons. But if you spend time with him, oh boy, you're his kid. Okay? Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. And then he says this, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. This is where you dwell. This is where you spend your time in. And when you get a chance, you're spending time with God. He said, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Is that what he says? Is that what it says? Do we need to take that part out? Oh, no. That is a promise. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. I don't care if it's scorpions or bugs or whatever. They don't come by. They're pestilences, the little bugs or whatever. They can't come near your dwelling. Amen. You won't have trouble with them.
That's it.
You having trouble with termites? Anybody? Nobody? I'm going to tell you what, Arizona is a termite country. Can I be saying, I mean, hey, toss a 2x4 out in the ground and see how long it takes for it to get dissolved. You having trouble with termites? Talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, hey, I'm having trouble with termites. Your word says, and no pestilence shall come near my dwelling. Is that right?
Amen.
No plague shall come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. Is that right? Remember I told you, remember I said when you go in, you got this big crowd? These angels are, hey, yeah, okay, man. This is what we're going to do. To keep you in all your ways, they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon, shall you trample under feet. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Can I tell you that there is constant, you might not look at them like this, but sometimes people will tell you stuff that is not true. And some folks will get a hold of it and take off with it. Don't do that. Go to what the Word of God says and take His Word. His truth is your shield and your buckler. Is that okay?
Amen.
The young lion and the dragon, whatever they're saying, who cares? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, but the devil. Folks, I don't say that name very often in here. Can you say amen to that? Because he's defeated. He is a done deal. Who cares about what he's doing? What we need to care about is the kingdom of God. Is that okay?
Amen.
The dragon, the lion, I mean the dragon and the young lion, you're going to trample under your feet. Because he has set his love upon me. Now, I like the way it shifts because I really feel like God is speaking here. This is where God begins to speak because David's in his closet, in his place where he's hearing the Lord and he's writing these things down. And then all of a sudden this pops up. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Is that a promise? That's a promise. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How many say amen to that? Isn't that a good psalm? Folks, the Holy Spirit has taken us into the presence of God is a treasure to you. Do you know that? It's a valuable treasure. Don't ever discount what God has given you. He's given you an opportunity to go before him and speak to him and talk to him. Allow that to happen. Don't walk away from him. Walk towards him. The Bible says, draw near to God and what he'll do. What will he do? What does he do? He draws near to you. It's like you take one step towards him, he'll take five towards you. You get to take another step, he's going to take another five. He's going to get as close as he can to you because he knows you can't see him. You know, he knows that your eyes sometimes are focused on things that they shouldn't be focused on. And so he says, step one towards me and I will go after you. I will move into you. I will speak to you. I will sing to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know what? You want God to sing to you? Woo. The Word of God says that he encircles us with songs of deliverance. Yeah, come on, man. Well, I want to tune into them songs. And you say amen to that. I want to say, God, what are you singing? Hey, God, wait. God, what are you singing this morning? I want to hear what you're singing. Because he's trying to deliver us.
Yes.
And delivery, folks, doesn't mean out of, a lot of time, most of the time it's out of something bad. But when he has already washed you clean and everything, you know what he's delivering you? He's delivering you into the mind of Christ.
Amen.
The mind of Christ. That's a beautiful delivery. Woo. Some of you are going, whoa, I don't know what that meant. But this is what God's doing. God is saying, look, I am taking you someplace, but you have to spend time with me. Do you hear me? You have to spend time with him so that he can show you what he's doing for you, because he's for you and he's not against you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. He is a treasure beyond belief. Will you stand? Praise God. Wow. Where's the closer guy? Yeah, there he comes, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Thank you, mijo.
When he says it that way, I feel like I should have some walk-in music or something, you know?
Walk-in, absolutely.
Yeah, like a relief pitcher. But, you know, when I said the thing about the fear of the Lord earlier, Even though I was the guy putting scriptures today, I didn't really pay attention to what I was putting in there. But on my way here, you know, God shared with me. He's like, hey, talk about that. Because really, we do have to be aware of God's presence. We do. Because, I mean, it would change our lives so much. Because, like, you know, we're aware of the people around us. But, you know, there's times where we kind of start taking people for granted. And it's really easy when we don't see God standing in front of us, we take him for granted. So it's really important that we have that awareness that God's always with us, but also of all the awesome things he's done for us, including giving us the Holy Spirit, who lives with us. It's our comforter, our counselor, equips us. So if you would, bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you help us always be aware of your presence so that we do things that honor you, that show our love for you, but also, Lord, so that when we're struggling, we have those hard times that we know that you, with those things that you've already done for us, that you've forgiven our sins. Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, that you've given us knowledge and wisdom in your word and in your spirit, and to help us live by those. Just give us a passion for loving you more, for knowing you more, and living our lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.